Alan and Brian, let's give them some more love, please. And I think that was an original that Alan wrote, so yay, very nice. Be kind. I think that's my talk. I'm complete. That's all. No. Really, like, just be kind, people. My talk today is Diversity as a Stained Glass Window. And as most of you know, we are given talk titles by the Centers for Spiritual Living. And so this title was given to me, and I had absolutely no idea what to do with it. But boy, I came up with some interesting things. And when we think of we do have a stained glass window. If you've ever been at the back of the church, we do have a beautiful window up there. And before I start my talk, I wanted to share a video of mine that many of you know. I had another life. I was a professional dancer, artistic director of a modern dance company. And I wanted to share a video that I did with Linda Webb Kakaba, who was a musician at the Santa Rosa Centers for Spiritual Living. And this was filmed 9 years ago, but Linda and I did a couple collaborations together. And it's called The Heart of the World. And it reminds me of, it gives me hope that when we each understand that we're part of the big heart, that maybe we can get along. Maybe. So I found our heart rock that is usually on the piano. And what I'd like to do as we're watching the video and I'm speaking, I'm going to pass it, and I want each person to just hold the rock for as long as you like. Rocks are also very grounding. Whenever we feel disconnected, holding stones or rocks can help to ground our energy. And this is a heart-shaped rock, which I collect. I know some of you also do. So I'm going to start with Naomi, and when she feels, she's just going to hold it for a while, she'll pass it along, we'll go across the row, and then it'll go across. So everybody in this community is going to put their love and support into this one heart, okay? Is everybody willing to do that? And you can hold it as long as you want. So let's show the video, Pam. Thank you. The heart of the world. That I have hope. I have hope, and I'm going to explain that later about us each accepting that role as being a heart connected to the world. So, as I mentioned, we're given our topic, and I wanted to know if you're willing to hear something new today about diversity and inclusion, and maybe apply it to your life. Yeah. And are you ready to experience what it's like to have an open heart? Would you be willing? Okay, great. So diversity training has been very popular in recent years, mostly focusing on the diversity in the workplace with people of different ethnic backgrounds or people of color. And I don't know if you've noticed, but here in the foothills, we don't seem to have a real diverse racial population. That's just a fact, right? But look around the center. Just look around you and see the diversity of people here. Just go ahead and look around. All kinds, aren't there? So today's topic was suggested by the Cultural Integrity and Evolution Committee of Centers for Spiritual Living. Yes, there's actually a committee. Cultural Integrity and Evolution. And we here at the Foothill Center are a microcosm of the macrocosm of the big Centers for Spiritual Living, which is based in Denver. And everyone at Centers for Spiritual Living is talking about this very topic today of diversity. And so we, I hope, are in unity with everyone on this important subject. I recently attended, as did some of the other practitioners, a diversity training webinar. I've quite a few of them, actually. And it was called From Bystander to Ally. And the presenter opened the webinar with honoring the indigenous people of who grew up or who were here first from wherever the webinar was taking place. The webinar people happened to be in Maryland. And so there is a website called nativeland.com where you can go to put in your zip code, and then it comes up with all of the indigenous tribes and people who were here first. And it's a beautiful thing. And so this webinar we attended, he blessed and honored those people from there where they were. And so I would like to do that to start my talk today. And the indigenous peoples of the Great Sierra Nevada Mountains have lived here for thousands of years, living peacefully in unique harmony within the great waters and majestic mountains, hills, and valleys of what was to be known as Placer County. The Nisenan people of the Maidu tribe of California Indians inhabited the valley, plain, and mountains in such historically familiar places as Sacramento, Marysville, Nevada City, Auburn, Coloma, and Placerville. So I just would like to publicly honor, respect, and bless the indigenous people who came here before. So the dictionary definition of diversity is variety, difference, and the inclusion of individuals representing more than one national origin. Peter, could you put that up? So again, as we think of diversity, we tend to think of, and I'm talking about diversity in terms of people, right? We know there's diversity in nature. So I've already mentioned, there's racial diversity, there's ethnic. What else? What else would you think of when you think of diverse people? Religious? Mm-hmm. Age? Gender or sexuality? And that could be a preference? Gender? Language. I can't hear. Diet? Okay. Age, is age on there? Yeah. We have diverse political opinions. And that's as far as I'll go. But it's important to notice. We're all, you know, we all have difference. Size. I like that. Size. Beliefs. Yeah, well, racial, color, yeah. What was something? Beliefs, yes. Health. Okay, that's a good, that gives you an idea, right? So, interesting, diversity synonyms are assortment, medley, and a mixed bag. I was thinking the other day about, would you rather have, you know how you can buy iceberg lettuce, it's one color, and put some dressing on it? Or would you rather have a salad that had purple cabbage and orange carrots and maybe some apples and a little bit of cranberries and croutons and some kale and maybe some white radishes and a medley, right? Would that be more tasty? So there was a famous guy a long time ago. His name was Forrest Gump. What did he say? Yes. Life is like a box of chocolates. I like to think of our community, our world, like a box of chocolates, or an assortment, or a medley, or a mixed bag, because it is. So science of mind, point of view is we are rooted in the one, which produces limitless variety. And yet we live in the myth of separation, don't we? Us against them. In many different ways. So Ernest Holmes had a few quotes. Ernest Holmes is our founder of Science of Mind. He said, "Everything in the universe is a unique individualization or expression of the one thing that is the cause of all things. No two blades of grass are alike, no two grains of sand, no two thumbprints, no two of anything are alike. And nothing ever exactly reproduces any other thing. This means," he says, "that the one ultimate cause is pressing against every individualization, flowing through it, and that every event in the finite has an infinite possibility behind it." We each have an infinite possibility behind us, supporting us. He also goes on to say, move this for me? He's back over there. "Behind all is a unity. Through all is a diversity. Saturating all is a divinity." Isn't that beautiful? That's such a good Ernest Holmes quote. And then we have diversity is being invited to the party. Inclusion is what? Interesting, huh? Diversity is being invited to the party. And inclusion is being asked. So how do we transform diversity into inclusion? Can we be a spiritual community where oneness does not require sameness? In other words, can we create a deep and meaningful experience where people who are different from us can work and worship together? Are you willing to demonstrate the divine principles and foundations of love, oneness, wholeness, and harmony into everything you do? Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm so glad someone can fix me. Thank you. I think I have big ears. So not only here in our community, but out in the world, in our life, I would like to invite us to elevate our understanding of oneness and inclusion and be empowered to participate more fully in an accepting attitudes of our differences. Are you with me? Willing to try it? I have another, whoops, another one. Oh, not that one yet. The birds, the PowerPoint birds. Doesn't matter. The birds. Hey, the birds flew away. All right, it was a stained glass window with birds on it. It was very pretty. So I just invite us to see. Yeah, there they are. Those are birds. It's kind of hard to see. Oh, it's part of that. Okay, that's fine. So I just invite us to be willing to see our world as a beautiful stained glass window where each of us is recognized as a unique expression of God. And our individual strengths, beauty, and talents become essential elements that contribute to the collective experience. Turn to someone and say, "You're a unique bird." So there's a story that I want to share of a young man who was new to a town, and he was walking up to a corner, and he asked an old man who was sitting at the bench, "What kind of people live here?" The young man asked, and the old man said, "Well, what kind of people lived in the place you just left?" "Oh, they were a bad lot," replied the young man. "I was glad to leave them." "Oh, you'll find the same here," said the old man. Later, another young man came by the corner, and he asked the old man the same question. And the old man asked the young guy about the people who lived in the town he had just left. With a smile on his face, he replied, "Oh, they were great people, honest and friendly, really nice." "Oh, you'll find the same here," replied the old man. So a friend who was sitting with the old man on the bench asked him, how can you give two completely different answers to the same question?" The old man explained, "Each person carries within them the environment in which they live. No matter where we go, people are the same because people are to us what we find in them." So we have this thing called the subconscious. You can just take that off, Pam. Our subconscious beliefs about differences from other people can come to the surface really quickly when we encounter people that look different from us, can't they? Or speak different from us. And we often reflect these hidden beliefs in our interactions with strangers. So think about, how do you treat the wait staff at a restaurant? Or the checkout person at the supermarket? How do you respond to someone that has a lot of piercing on their body or tattoos? What's your reaction when you're cut off in traffic? I know nobody has that problem. Every day we interact with people we don't know. And so how are we going to react to them? I'm just inviting you to pay attention. And from today, maybe be a little more mindful of our hidden beliefs, prejudices, and bias to people that look different from you. And to be willing to open your heart to changing that response or reaction. And you know what? We may have to call upon that sacred center of ourself. Jane Beach in Science of Mind magazine this month called it Turning to God. I'd rather choose grace over drama. G-O-D, grace over drama. Everybody's going, So part of the training we did, I learned a new word, never heard this word, and it was created, I don't know if the word was created, but the whole idea of it was developed by a sociologist professor at some big university. It's called microaggressions. Has anyone ever heard of that word? Some of you, raise your hand if you have, just so I can, microaggressions, okay. It also can be called unconscious bias. It is what gets in the way of accepting someone. And they can be brief, and microaggression is a brief, everyday slight or insult, which sometimes we think of as a compliment. So they had on the video a young gentleman who was a brilliant graduate student at some university, and he was talking to the professor about going into graduate school or something. And this young man was born and raised in the United States. His parents were from China, so he was Chinese, looked Chinese, but he grew up in this country. And at the end of the interview, brilliant young man, the interviewer said, "I am so impressed with your intelligence, and you speak English really well." I know. So he was meaning well, maybe, yet I don't really even have to explain that. So the young man, I'm sure, was a little taken aback. Another one, and I'm going to show you a couple that I found on microaggressions from YouTube from this professor. So Pam, do you want to go ahead and show those? Can you read this? "You don't act like a normal black person, you know." And these are our young people right now, the millennials, that hear this all the time. This young girl says, or someone said to her, "What are you?" And she said, "Human. Being biracial doesn't make me a what." Take a breath. I know. That's why they call them aggressions, microaggressions. Okay, the next one. "Courtney, I never see you as a black girl." Thinking that's a compliment. She says, "Open your eyes." So this young man, people say, "So, like, what are you?" Again. And then the last one. "June, you're really pretty." And she thinks they're saying for a dark-skinned girl. This gal, someone said, "Can you see as much as white people, you know, because of your eyes?" It's just so... I just want us to open our heart right now to understand that we all do this in some way or shape or another, and to forgive ourselves when we have that come up, even if we don't speak it. The healing happens here within our own hearts. Thank you, Pam, you can take that down. So I was thinking about how we, when someone, when someone sneezes, we instinctively say, bless you. Some people say, "God bless you." Bless you, achoo, bless you. And I was thinking, isn't that interesting? Our instinct is to bless someone that we don't even know. I don't ask you, "Who did you vote for?" before I bless you. Or, "What religion are you?" Achoo, "What religion are you?" Right? It's kind of funny, but I'm so inspired that we actually, our instinct is to bless someone, not curse them. What if we expanded that idea? Just think about it. So I had a thought, and I created this practice I do now, a spiritual practice, where if I'm in a stoplight in my car, and cars are passing by me, I just bless everybody. So cars are turning, and I bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. And I keep doing it until the cars aren't around. And then if I get bored, I'll look to the people to the right and the left, bless you, bless you. Or sometimes I do it in the grocery store, but I do it silently. I just will look at someone and silently bless them. I don't have to know them. I don't have to know their history or background. And it's an amazing practice. I invite you to maybe play with that this week. I recently taught a class here called Practical Mysticism. And one of the books we studied was by Carolyn Mace called Entering the Castle. And the castle, her idea of the castle is the different rooms of the soul. And as you go into these different rooms of the soul, you're able to clear out that old baggage and garbage and stuff, bias and prejudice that we grew up with not knowing it. And you can start to clean out that stuff to become a pure vessel for the divine to work through you, through the soul essence. And one of the practices she did was called practicing illumination, where you are willing to see someone with different eyes. Are you willing? So she talks about being a source of illumination for a soul companion on this journey of life, where you consciously reframe what it is and who it is you're looking at. Just a thought. So I'm going to lead you into a very short process for a moment, and we're going to go a little over time. Is everybody okay with that? So go ahead and close your eyes for a moment. Take a breath with me. And I want you to bring to mind, in your mind's eye, someone insignificant, a stranger that you may have noticed, maybe today, at the store, or sometime a stranger you passed on the street or in a public place. Just bring them to mind as best you can. Recall them right now in your mind. And simply illumine their face. Share and shine your grace, your blessings upon them. And silently say to yourself and to them, I do not know who you are, and I may never see you again. But today, I did see you. We share the same space. I am sending you grace and blessings. Thank you. You can open your eyes. Just notice how that feels in your heart. It's a beautiful practice. And Carolyn Mace says, you will delight in such a practice as this because the grace will fill you as well. It's the law of reciprocity. What we give out, we get back. Did you know that research shows there are 18,000 species of birds? 18,000 species of birds. So let's celebrate diversity every day. Life as infinite creative power is always creating new versions of itself. So as we see the differences of expression, of thoughts, of ideas throughout the world, let's remember that we're all one and honor the differences and be willing to look past any upset and choose grace over drama. Who's with me on that one? You know, the crazy thing is, we all want the same thing. Don't we? We all want to be healthy. We all want success. We all want to be loved. We all want to be peaceful. We all want to live in harmony. Who doesn't want that? We all want the same thing. So let's practice being the heart of the world. On your bulletin, you have an affirmation. So can you take your blue bulletin out? It's under abundance affirmation, but I'd like us to read it together. I am rooted in one life, which produces limitless variety. Today, I celebrate and honor the variety of life itself. I smile, I open, I give, and I receive. I'm going to close with a poem that characterizes how to be inclusive by Howard Rainier, a Native American poet. It's called The Ascent. Grab hold and take this hand that reaches out to you. Look up into my eyes. My spirit cries out to you. Friendship is my thought. Let us climb the jagged cliffs of life and fight the ascent of separation together. If I can lift you today, you will look back and grab the hands of 1,000 more. That is the way the Great Spirit would have it. Let's take that into prayer. Just recognizing in this one perfect moment of now, the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent power of the one heart, one mind, one being, one love, one breath, in and through everything. And this one power and presence does contain unconditional love, wholeness, unity, freedom, creativity, expansion, peace, harmony, joy, so much more. It is the ever-givingness of life itself, in and through me, in and through you, in and through everyone. So I'm grateful today, so grateful, to recognize that we are each individual waves in this ocean of life. And a wave is never, ever, ever separate from the ocean. Can't be done. We are always part of that Creator, the great Creator. So I'm grateful today to recognize that each of us is opening to a new expression of who we are and being willing to be open to an expression of a person who might look different than us. That we elevate our consciousness to include someone into our dance. Invite them to the party and ask them to dance. What a beautiful idea. So I'm grateful, so grateful for this opportunity to know that our hearts are open, our minds are expansive, and that there's a willingness right here, right now, to act, think, and be a little bit differently today in the direction of the one. Yes, because that's who we are. At our very essence, we are kind, we are compassionate, we are loving, and we are forgiving. So I'm grateful to speak these words today and to be here with you to celebrate this idea of diversity. And I release this treatment into the infinite mind of the Creator, knowing that it has been heard, it's already done, things are already moving. And we just let it be so and join me in affirming, and so it is.